Greetings, my friends. Welcome to the next episode of the Mint Mob Podcast. Jason here, joined by my buddy Alex across the pond in Germany. We're going to jump into what's coming up for October and a few other things. But before we do, let's check in and see how Alex is. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm great, obviously, with that awesome 2 weeks ahead. It's actually 11 days, not 2 weeks. But yeah, finishing the year strong. Looking forward to finally start what needed so much preparation, obviously, getting in touch with all these artists. They created beautiful pieces, and now we are finally able to, show the pieces to the people, to the community. It's always great. That's actually always the greatest part about it, because you and I, we see the pieces pretty early. We love the pieces we get from artists usually, and then we have to sit on them for weeks until we can finally reveal the art. And now we have the same feeling back to back for 10 days, and this is awesome. So looking forward to that. What about you? How was your week?
Yeah, it's good, man. Just been busy, obviously, finalizing drops. Excuse me, can't clear my throat this morning. But yeah, it was a busy week, obviously, with promo, with art, with payloads, getting ready for mints, and all the rest of it. And then having to run some tests on some things that I was trying. So it was a bit crazy, but good. And I'm looking forward to getting the artwork out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have actually such a top tier list of artists lined up for October. And I think we actually, how many men do we have? Like, I think we have Paul, Jake, and Metalhead, right? All the others are female artists.
Yeah.
And
I think
so. What do you think is actually the reason? What do you think is the ratio of artists in general in the NFT space? Do you think it's like 80-20 or something?
I don't know. I've never really paused to seriously consider it. But yeah, there's a lot more female creators right now. I think probably the way Web3 is working is a lot like everything else. if you have, generally in the world, men tend to be more, out there with, hey, I've got to build something great. I've got to build something big. I've got to build something fast. I've got to take care of the family, this, that, the other thing. And, typically that means that you're not going to be an artist. It's going to take time to build a brand. It's going to take time to build anything, especially consumable wise, you may not have if you don't want to sacrifice the time that you would take to build some sort of enterprise or some sort of money-making thing. Because, most artists fail. This is just true of the space, whether it's in visual arts or video or, whatever the thing is. Most artistic people fail, and a lot of it has to do with just the mentality around what they're creating. It's not really a business for them. It's a passion. It's a pursuit. It's something like that, more so than it is an enterprise. And, if you want to make money, you have to consider the enterprise part of it. So I think a lot of times, especially in today's world where men are valued based on what they produce, there's more of a push for men to be in the world producing than there is to be, creating beautiful things. And that's not to say there's not a lot of great male artists. There are, I can think of a few right at the top of my head. But at the end of the day, the space, at least as it exists right now, does seem to trend heavily toward the female side of things.
Yeah, that's true. And it's actually funny considering that, NFTs are obviously connected to crypto, and crypto seems more like a male dominated space. And that's why I wondered, because I felt like, is it just our timeline maybe? Is it like just the people we are connected to, our little cosmos? Is it maybe us only attracting women to join the Goodfellas? But no, I think it's actually true that the majority of the creators are women. And I wondered whether they are maybe a little more patient when it comes to building, or if it's actually the truth that, men are kind of more into, creating in the real world and not really into creating beautiful things here in Web3. But nonetheless, our lineup is great, and I love every single piece that is going to be published. Of course, I have my favorites there, looking forward. And we will start and kick things off with the Gleam Squad tomorrow. First of all, when you created the mint schedule, did you have any sort of idea why you put it the way it is?
The biggest thing is just want it to flow, and we want it to flow from, you know, like artist to artist, and have either variants from piece to piece. Like one piece has one type of look, the next piece, like maybe the bonus piece, has a completely different type of look, or either, you know, similar pieces, like just trying to put pieces together that would flow in some sort of way. So if you look through it, you'll see that there's a little bit of, you know, like of one style either being in contrast to or lending itself to be similar to the next style, but not really. Outside of that, it's just came down to, you know, what's going to flow, what's going to work best for the particular, you know, for the setups in terms of drops, and, you know, what might be most interesting in this particular day. Like that was a consideration, you know, like if you're going on a specific day, you know, like who tends to be the people who are around on that particular day, what do they tend to like, that sort of thing. But yeah, so it's just about flow mainly, and making sure that I had a space for everyone. Like the big challenge wasn't necessarily like ordering everything, but getting the right number of pieces to order in the first place. So like, if you look at it, there's 19 pieces, there's 10 days, there's 10 standard mints and 9 bonus mints, which means that between each and every one of those main mints is a bonus. So like the 10 and the 9 works perfectly because it fills in all the spaces between. So every day is going to have a double mint, with the second mint being a bonus, with the exception of the final day, which is going to be Daria's piece. And then we're going to take the rest of the afternoon off, you know, after we mint her piece. And then we'll have the animated drop on the following day. So that's more or less what I was thinking. Just flow. How's it going to work? Can I get the right number of pieces so that the bonuses are spread evenly? And yeah, aside from that, I think we have an incredible lineup, and the truth is, like, it was kind of difficult to put things, you know, try to decide where things are going to go because there's so many different factors to consider. So at the end of the day, don't read anything into the order or the slots. It doesn't really matter. All of the art came out top shelf, and I'm a big fan of pretty much all the pieces that we have. So at the end of the day, it just comes down to how can we make it flow? How can we make it, you know, a good experience? You know, what kind of clues can we come up with the bonuses? What would be more interesting as a bonus versus a main mint? You know, these types of things. So that's kind of it.
All right, awesome. So it was not completely random. But yeah, before we jump into the art, let's talk a little bit about, you know, organizational stuff. So if any of you guys have not submitted your wallet yet, you can obviously still do that. It would be great if you either DM'd any one of us or, you know, just submitted the form. I think if it's urgent, a DM would be better, or like opening a ticket or something. And yeah, we will have 19 different pieces from artists, all leading into the animated batch of 100 on October 31st on Halloween. And yeah, what else? Jason mentioned it already. There will always be a bonus mint coming after the quote unquote regular mint every day, I think, except on, like, I think October 30 only has Daria's mint, if I'm correct.
Right.
Which will be the final mint from the artists. And yeah, the average cost will be 0.14 Solana per piece. We were obviously aware of the fact that this is a pretty big amount of mints, especially for people who want to get every single piece. And you know, we usually go with 0.21 sol for per piece, but this time we decided to you know, consider people's budget as well. So yeah, I think that is quite affordable, especially considering what you get for that. And yeah, I already said that I'm so curious for people's, you know, opinion and reaction to the pieces, because you and I, we see these pieces so early, we like them, and we usually, you know, for some reason, usually you immediately want the reaction from your community to the piece. We obviously always have to wait a little bit on that, but yeah, it's not too far away. We got the Gleam Squad coming tomorrow. We got Poly Raiders with their bonus mint. Is Poly Raiders actually like, or Raiders actually a collective of artists, or is it one guy creating the pieces?
Poly Raiders, yeah. Poly Raiders are a group out of Africa, and they do a lot of charity work mm-hmm. for their local community. A lot of times what they're doing is they're raising money to buy, you know, basically like basic human essentials for their community. They've raised money for schools. They've raised money for to send kids to school. They've raised money to, you know, buy like feminine products for young girls who've never had them, pencils, you know, like all this kind of stuff. Like, so like when Poly Raiders is minting, the proceeds of their funds are going to that effort, right? So anything that you know, that goes their way, and in this case we're paying them for their work, you know, they'll end up using that money in the community. So it always goes to a good spot. And of course, I think they're in Nigeria. I could be wrong. I'd have to double check with that. The artist's name is Moses. And Moses is a super good, super cool cat, really good dude. And he, I met through Women of Fada. And so he has been working with those guys. And, you know, they've been doing mint after mint, trying to raise money. So the funds that we raise and end up paying Moses with will end up ultimately back in his community in some way, shape, or form. So, but yeah, they are a group of people. It's a husband, wife, and I think there's one other person. I cannot remember for sure. But yeah, there's a husband, wife, team, family, and then I think there's maybe one other person, but Moses is the artist.
Isn't when you mentioned Women of Fada, aren't these the guys, didn't we donate something to them back then, like during mm-hmm. the times when we had the Siren Syndicate mint, like a couple $100? Is that the group of people?
Yeah, for sure. We I think we ended up donating a few $100 to them. They were raising money for this particular event was a drive to raise money to send kids to school. So like they had to have a certain mm-hmm. amount of money per kid to buy them into whatever school they were trying to send them to locally. And then the cool thing was like Moses was taking videos and then posting them. So you could kind of see, hey, you know, here's what's going on with the kids. Here's how we're distributing the funds, you know, so, you know, it made its way to a good place, like and for a good cause. And so, you know, those are the types of things that, you know, we want to continue to support, obviously, in this space, but also being, you know, being as part of the Goodfellas brand. That's one of the things that we really want to get behind, people who are genuinely, you know, doing everything possible to make their community a better place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. All right. And after Poly Raiders, we will have Anna Luzuria's piece. Anna, she, her piece is actually in her signature style as well. Very, very strong piece again. Then we have Jake Balch, NFT. I think he's also a collector in the Meta Vixens universe. Is that correct?
Yep. Jake has been promoting Meta Vixens for quite some time, and he also has his own collection. So this will be in the style mm-hmm. of his own collection, which is really kind of cool.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I saw that it like looked like something he did before. I think I saw that on my timeline already. And yeah, it's always pretty cool. Do you like when we ask people to create something for the Artist Incubator or now for Artoba in particular, do you want people to create stuff in their signature style, or do you sometimes feel like I'd love to see something completely different from you?
Both. I mean, you know, obviously the signature style is what probably drew us to them in the first place. And then of course, you know, if someone's doing their signature style and they do it over and over and over and over and over again, you know, like there's only so many times you can look at the same thing and, you know, as an artist feel like, oh, you know, I'm super inspired today, right? So, you know, as an artist specifically, if you have an artist eye, an artist mind, you have this tendency toward, you know, new and better and different. So if someone has a tendency and they don't want to do something in their traditional style, for me, I think it's great. Like break out, do something different, you know, like show us something else that interests you in a manner that we've never seen before. and, you know, show us a little bit more about what your interests are, you know, because once you've created a character, and, you know, so many NFT artists create their characters and they stay within that character. And that's cool because, you know, obviously they're drawing in buyers for that specific character. So they're kind of locked into that. But when you start branching out, that's when I think you get, you know, into the artistic space. And this is kind of where, what I think of when I think of Anna Shi. Like, Anna is probably one of my favorite artists right now. She does incredible work with deep meaning, and it's fine art good. Like, her stuff, you know, is stuff that you would really want to see hanging on a wall in a museum somewhere. And I think ultimately she's going to get there because she's so prolific in what she does. Like, she's constantly putting out work, putting out work, putting out work. And the work that she puts out is very different and varied from previous pieces. But all of it has a common thread, being textures or colors, but also the meaning and the story behind the piece. So she does a really good job of conveying that. And I think when, you know, when you're in the NFT space, it's very difficult to sometimes sell pieces that have, you know, I'd say more of a, like an individual feel than a character-based feel, because, you know, once people associate you with a character, they expect that of you and they're more willing to buy that character from you. But if you can establish yourself as a, like, more of a fine artist where you're doing different types of ideas across different media, but with common threads that bind everything together, I think that's a more difficult route because, you know, people don't know what you're going to do next, and they don't, they're uncertain. If they see something different and they have to think about it and digest it, and it's like, do I like this? Do I not like this? What's the story behind it? So I think it's a more difficult road. And, you know, so the people who are going that road and traveling that road, in fact, the fact that you mentioned earlier, like, about male artists, like, most male artists that I do see are going that route. They're doing, like, the fine art style. You know, like Beverly Kills, for example, does a lot of fine art style with, like, pink and, like, guns and, like, different juxtapositions. But there's the common thread of, like, this pinkness, pink backgrounds in a lot of what they do. And that's a male artist. So, like, you know, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to, you know, what you're ultimately trying to create. But if you're an artist and you have an idea that you want to execute and you're locked into character mode, then yeah, the Artist Incubator is a perfect place for you to show off. It's like, hey, I know I do this character, but this is going to be something outside of that. Or maybe this is going to be a landscape with the character in it. Or maybe this is going to be, you know, completely different from anything I've done before. Like, this is a perfect place to showcase that work.
Yeah, absolutely. I am. And I like that. Like, did any of the artists submit something that, you know, completely surprised you?
I don't think I was completely surprised by anything. I mean, because I'm familiar with all of these artists, right? So I knew what to expect, or I knew to expect a character, or to expect, like, a fine art type piece, like what like Anna Shi does. So I wasn't really surprised, but I think the execution from the different pieces is really what is separating the like this work from other things, because even if they're doing a character, they're not bound by anything, you know? So you got characters who are doing, or you have artists who are doing characters that maybe are touching on subject matter that they wouldn't customarily do. Like, Sahar is doing, a character around fall and, Halloween and the season, but that doesn't exist in her culture, right? So she's doing something she's never done before. Anna Shi's piece, first ever Halloween type piece, not something that she's done before. Maria's doing pieces in her style, but she's also doing a matching drop, which is a marketing thing she's never done before, right? So, like, there's all these opportunities to do things you've not done before when you say yes to things that you've never said yes to before, you know? So this is one of those things. You know, Jake's piece is an animated piece, and it's one of, and it's done in the style, it's done in his collection style, but it has, like, a Halloween vibe, or, you know, like a monster vibe to it, which is really kind of cool. And, you know, people are probably not accustomed to seeing that type of work from him, you know? So, like, when you break it all down, all the pieces have slight variances or differences. I think Scarce Creatures, who does primarily non-human forms did more of a human form, right? So like all of these sort of ways and means of doing different things are available to the artists should they choose to take advantage of them.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Scarce Creatures and also Sahar, because those two are, I mean, I love getting, you know, follow-up pieces from artists we already had in the Artist Incubator, but especially these two are expanding the range of different types of art we have in the art gallery. So I really love what they did. And yeah, it's definitely different from what we have so far. But another artist we have is Art Naz, and I think she's the only one who painted on a real canvas, right?
I think so. In this particular event, yeah, she paints watercolor in the real world. So she painted a watercolor and then digitized it. So that's also very cool. She does both, but I think primarily she works in the real world, which is really kind of cool to see.
Yeah. It is, it is. And yeah, love to bring her piece to life as well. We have Daisy. Daisy's piece is, yeah, pretty, like Daisy, like what we got is so good, but that's kind of what I expected. So was not surprised by that piece, which is definitely not a bad thing. You mentioned Maria. Maria has a matching piece coming up with her Goodfellas drop. Hers, the only piece I haven't seen yet. So you got to tell me if it's good or not.
Oh, you haven't seen Maria's piece. Yeah, I guess I haven't had time to really go through and pull a sample piece out and put it into like the sample gallery. So yeah, there's maybe there'll be some time later today.
No, it's perfectly fine. I mean, I like to be surprised as well. And I'm totally looking forward to, I'm not sure, like the matching piece she does, is that like matching in a way that you could, you know, put both together on a canvas and print it out like the matching pieces we have, or like, did you see the final result already?
I haven't seen the Muse piece that she's going to do. And she's been a little bit vague about whether, I don't think they stick together, but it looks like they could. So yeah. If it were me, I would make it so that they stuck together, obviously, but it's not my work. So I don't know what she's going to ultimately decide. I think that they're meant to be a like representations of dominance and subservience, but I don't know that they necessarily stick together or would be one fluid piece, mm-hmm. but we'll find out. You know, it's part of the mystery. Like, again, we don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff when you start bringing people together that just can never be known until you get in there and you start doing the stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We will find out in 4 days, actually, on October 24. Looking forward to that. On the same day, we will have Rando Cats, and Rando Cats actually built a pretty cool brand around their, you know, cats. And what's her name again? Do you remember? I unfortunately forgot. Is it
Tatiana?
I don't. Oh, it's Tatiana. Oh, for some reason, I thought Tatiana was Scarce Creatures, but okay, kind of getting it confused here. But yeah, Tatiana is building a pretty cool brand about her cats, and spoiler alert, it's going to be another version of that for the Artist Incubator. And I think this is going to be the second piece that is not a human form, right? After the Cat Array piece we had.
Yeah, so her pieces, again, she's like most of the NFT artists, especially the females, are doing characters. I think Daria would be an exception to that because she does different types and styles of art for different people. She's very like technically sound, and she does a lot of different things with her work. But yeah, so Tatiana has the Rando Cats, and she does a character. And her character is male, and it's like a little cat sort of witch wizard dude. And he's and she included a really cool description. Like, she's another one where like her IP could be perfect in storytelling, whether it's children's books or adult comic strips. And, you know, a lot of the characters that we're seeing created here in the NFT space could pass for that. But yeah, her piece from a vector art standpoint is amazing. Actually, Sahar and Tatiana, and I think possibly Scarce Creatures, just from looking at the composites, they're all heavily vector-based artwork, which is basically, you know, more flat type art. But the detail, like what you look at when you see the Soul Rockers collection that we acquired, like the detail of the flat art is really the thing that makes it incredibly cool or uncool. And so depending on how the detail is drawn, whether it's the shadowing or whether it's a texturing type thing, especially when doing vector-based art, makes all the difference in the world. And all three of those artists have done a fantastic job with their vector art. Looks absolutely amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love these pieces as well. And I just wanted to, I unfortunately closed the window here. Up next would be, the pronunciation is a little hard. Top Mur Miao. We are not sure. We should ask her what's the right pronunciation. She's from Russia or Ukraine, I think, right?
Yeah, I think her native language, I think, is Russian. So I'm not sure where in the world she is. I didn't ask, but I was running language, communicate with different people, running their languages through translators so that they can get the full meaning of what I'm trying to say. So pretty sure we ran that one through Russian.
Yeah. And her piece was like one of the ones where I saw it and I immediately loved it. You know, sometimes you have to look at a piece for a little while until you understand it. But this piece, I think, fits so good into the Artist Incubator collection. And there is nothing you cannot like about it, in my opinion. So, looking forward to get that out as well. And then we will have Sahar. We spoke about her before. She got in very late. I think she was the last one, or Jake was the last one. I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. one of the last ones who joined mm-hmm. the lineup. And her piece is great. We talked about that before. And then we have another artist with a little twist who has been with us before. Jilly is the only artist who will have two pieces among her 21 prints. And this is like the first time we did that, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, it's the first time we've done it in the AI gallery. I did it once in the 21s gallery for the real world asset drop with the trees. She has prepared two pieces, and the interesting thing is the 21st piece will be the variant and have the traditional signature, but also the 13th piece will bear the signature as well, being that it's honoring the 13 women who took over their collection. So hers is again, more opportunities to do different things, right? So this is their way of doing that.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. I love that. I mean, I loved hearing that she has that special idea that we can incorporate. And this is so cool. Then we will have Paul Charles on the same day. We spoke about his art before. And I think whoever loves Paul Charles' art will love that piece too. So looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. Then we have someone, Masan. Masan had a piece before as well. So this is basically another follow-up piece from an artist we already had in the incubator. And her piece is actually pretty similar to what I said about Top Mur Miao, because this was like an unhateable piece. It's actually, I saw it, I loved it, and I was like, great, great to have it. Definitely fits the theme, and looking forward to have her piece. And then we are at October 27 already. Then we got Metalhead Scott, our little lawyer, who created another piece for Artober. And this piece is, I feel like this is a little more different to what he usually creates. What do you say?
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different in that you can see a little bit more of the figure in it, and he had a clear direction with what he was creating. And so this one, for those of you guys who are fans of Tolkien and the LOTR world, you'll appreciate when you'll see it. You'll probably get the reference, but it's a little bit different from what he's done in the past.
Yeah, which is totally cool. I love that. I love the recent mint he had on ETH, which was a pretty cool piece. I think you minted it. I think I saw it there. And that was definitely very cool. Then we have Hannah, aka Shape of Flower, aka Julie, whose piece is not animated this time, if I'm correct, right?
That's right. Again, doing something a little bit different. And the piece is, actually, I think it'd be weaker if she animated it. So I'm glad that she didn't animate it. It's a really strong piece. And sometimes, you know, if you start, if you have a piece that conveys a message in a strong way, and then you start adding distractions, it takes away from the message. So I think in this case, the animation that she would normally do would be a distraction from what the piece actually shows. So it's really kind of cool. It stands on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, as you said, it's definitely interesting to, you know, to have something made different. And I like that approach, definitely. I'm just seeing that the next one would be Soulmate. And I'm not sure if I have seen that piece because I tried to remember. Did you have that conversation with her separately?
She does the little baby elephants. So she has a little, you know, she does a character, like a little baby elephant character. So she did her little baby elephant character and, you know, gave it sort of this little devilish twist. But yeah, I'm not sure. Again, like I haven't had a chance to post all of the samples. But yeah, I've seen it and obviously prepared it for Mint, so I'm pretty familiar with it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I see a lot of stuff from her on my timeline, and I love what she does. I think she's, you know, very, very hardworking as well and does a lot of stuff for the space. So she shares a lot of stuff, and that's always obviously great to have someone, you know, working with you who's dedicated. And yeah, this would be October 28. So after that, we have Scarce Creatures. We spoke about that piece already. Very cool vector art. And yeah, definitely getting a new art style into our little gallery. Then we have something we haven't done before as well, which is a second piece of Anna. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so Anna's piece, she typically will post a work in progress video when she does her pieces. And in this particular case, she sent me the video of her work in progress that she did with her submission. And the work in progress video is just as strong, if not stronger, than the piece, because it tells you the history of the piece and how it came to be. And the fact that it's so detailed is lends itself perfectly to being a bonus. So her piece and her work in progress video are actually going to be two separate drops, and the video will obviously be a bonus that we're dropping in there. And obviously, if you're collecting her pieces, you're going to want that because it really fills in the gaps on her process. And if you're curious about art and how it's being, you know, drawn on things like Procreate, this is this highlights step by step exactly what she did to create the piece. And then when you read the story and you have the video and then you've got the composite, you've got basically all three angles that she was thinking in when she created the piece, which basically completes it, which is perfect.
Yeah, I just saw the video for the first time, and it's so great. I mean, Anna's art could actually be in any gallery in Paris, you know, and no one would complain about it. So I love to have her, and I love her piece. And yeah, looking forward to get that little video out as well. And then, as you know, the final artist for our little artist run, artist series in October, we have our in-house artist and my favorite Ukrainian human being, Daria, is going to have the final piece. And her piece is actually so cool as well. I think she, like, Daria has an insane amount of details in her art, and that's what I love. And Daria is going to obviously publish a lot of pieces in the future for the Goodfellas, being so close to us. And I think it's definitely a worthy final, right?
Yeah, for sure. Her skill set is one that she continues to evolve and grow. And on this particular piece, again, she's an artist that is playing with some different things. In this particular case, she's playing with some texturing that she hadn't necessarily played with in the past. And she was talking about this a little bit on the podcast. I'm sorry, on the spaces. And so her piece reflects that. And it's a really strong piece. The way that it's formed, the way the face is formed, is really difficult to do because it requires an understanding, like a good understanding of not only human physiology, but the placement of fingers and mouth in this particular piece is very difficult to execute. So she's done a good job of executing this, and you'll see it when you see the piece. It's super strong, and I think everyone's really going to love it. I know that when I saw it, I was really impressed with it.
Yeah, I think so too. And as I said, I think it's a great final piece for the run. And one thing that's pretty important to mention is that every artist had the possibility to also submit a description coming with the piece, which will be inscribed to the metadata, of course. And make sure to take a look at that, because I feel like these descriptions, you know, can give a piece like a whole new level of depth. Like it's like you see it from a different side. You see what the artist wanted to express. And I'm not sure, did every artist submit a description?
Almost every artist, not every artist, but almost every artist. I think we had maybe one or two people who did not. But yeah, so pretty much everyone did.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, looking forward to see all that, and looking forward to look at our little gallery in November, you know, looking back at it and seeing all these great additions we had. And yeah, I think this should be it. I liked that we, you know, went into every single piece, talked a little bit about every single piece. Maybe people get a little impression of what they could expect. And and of course, whoever gets the most or the biggest amount of pieces of the same number is going to win a little Android phone, and not any Android phone. He's going to win the ultimate Android phone, which serves as a hardware wallet as well. This is so cool. Can I still order one actually? Like, or do I have to try to get it by minting all the pieces? I'm not sure. Is it sold out?
I think you can still buy the phone. I would assume so. I haven't gone and checked, but I would assume that you could still buy the phone.
Yeah, okay. I'll definitely have to check that. So you have the chance to win a Solana Seeker, which obviously brings a lot of benefits with it. Besides, you know, being just a good phone and serving as a hardware wallet, you can also get a lot of airdrops and be eligible for various mints and all that stuff. So I think you mentioned that Launch My NFT added some sort of feature to, you know, include Solana Seeker holders to certain mints. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. And just to be clear to anyone who's not familiar with the mint format, what we do inside the Artist Incubator Gallery is we create 21 individually numbered prints that have a full suite of metadata. So they're basically function as standard Metaplex core NFTs, not the addition stuff that you see computers randomly generate. So we're emulating what you would see in an art gallery with the 21st piece normally signed. And we do the 21s out of in honor of, like, obviously Granddaddy Bitcoin, who has the 21 million token supply cap. So when we're dropping these out, and Alex is talking about getting the number of, or getting the most number of like print numbers, that's what he's referring to. So each drop, you'll have 21 opportunities with 21 different numbers, 1 through 21. And at the end of the 10-day span, the person who has acquired the most like print numbers, say, for example, you acquired, I don't know, 8 of the number 3s, and the next person has acquired 5 of the number 8s or something like that, then you would have the most like print numbers, and then you would win the phone. And we're just going to mail that out to you wherever you are in the world, no cost to you. We'll cover shipping and everything. So it's really a pretty sweet little, it's probably the most expensive giveaway we've ever done. And then, you know, when you add in the artwork expense, and then of course the time expense, this is by far the biggest event we've done, and biggest giveaway actually all together at one time. So that's pretty exciting. And, that will be the path forward. And I forgot the question that you asked. I wanted to make sure I got that in so that anyone who wasn't familiar, you know, would have a frame of reference. What was the question that you had asked me?
I think you answered it, to be honest.
Did I answer it? Okay, cool.
I can't remember. I can't remember, but I feel satisfied, so it should be good. So one thing you forgot to mention is that among among these 21 prints, there is actually one print, and it's always number 21 that has the artist's signature on it. So this is always even a little more special and wanted by collectors, of course. So yeah, we look forward to finally kick off October tomorrow. It's been a while. It's been a lot of preparation, and the time has finally come. We will get this out as soon as possible so people can get an idea of what to expect and hear us speaking about October and get the whole summary. And yeah, I look forward. I look also forward to obviously speak on Spaces later this week again and see how people's reactions are. And yeah, it's going to be exciting, man. Looking forward. And did we forget to drop any very important information?
No, I don't think so. I think I said the thing about the 21s. I think we have a really bad connection today. I don't know if maybe I'm getting like some computer voice from you. Maybe you're getting the same from me. But yeah, I think we covered everything. The only other thing that we'll want to say then is that after the 30th, which of course is the eve of Halloween, that drop that Daria is going to end with, we'll have the rest of that day to recoup and get ready for the animated drop that you're actually preparing. And so do you want to tell us a little bit about the animated drop before we jump off?
Yeah, sure. I was actually trying to avoid mentioning it, obviously putting pressure on me, but yeah, it's partly it's fun creating it. Partly it's kind of, you know, especially when you use AI tools, you might get frustrated at some point. I think whoever worked with AI tools before knows that whenever you type in a prompt, you never really know what the result is going to be. What I tried to do is, like, when I started creating that batch, I did a lot of cool animations. But at some point, it felt a little bit like I'm just, you know, basically collecting pieces that have been dropped on the socials already, and, you know, making that a batch. And I felt like this is not really cohesive. This is not what the batch should look like. So I deleted all of these pieces and started all over again. And I wanted a collection that is PFP-ish, that fits into the, you know, into the rest of the collection. I wanted like the character to look into the same direction, not move too much, and just have small elements being animated. And this is actually, in my opinion, what makes sense for an NFT collection. So sometimes it gets a little tricky when you use AI and you want it to do a certain thing, especially when you want it to not animate certain parts of the character. It kind of gets, you know, challenging because, you know, literally sometimes I tell Grok or whatever AI tool I use, like, don't do this, don't zoom into the image, and it keeps doing it, and you want to throw your laptop out of your window, and it's crazy. But yeah, it sometimes just needs some time in order to get a good result. Sometimes it obviously needed post editing. Sometimes animations were too fast, or, you know, I cut out the flame from the flamethrower and animated that manually. So it's like AI can't do everything, cannot really, or maybe AI does not know what exactly I want and I can't express that. I think in the end, the batch is going to be pretty cool. I like the one of one you created, of course. I think animations add a pretty cool touch to a piece, especially when they are like pretty simple and not too, like, it's not too much. Of course, you can use animated or, you know, complex animations for, you know, for promoting stuff and everything. But I feel like if you want to have it in a PFP style collection, it should be as simple as possible. So you can basically watch it in a loop and, you know, have it used if any social media platform ever enables animated PFPs, you can easily use such an NFT and it would look good. So yeah, looking forward to that batch as well. Obviously, many days need to pass before that happens, and we have a lot of great stuff coming before that. But yeah, looking forward to that, man. And okay, Halloween is going to be the final, man. Halloween is going to be good. And one thing I'm not sure if you mentioned that as well, but the more pieces you own from the artists, the bigger is your discount going to be for the batch pieces. So I'm not sure if we agreed on numbers already, but I think usually we mint batch pieces for 0.1 soul per piece. And for every artist's piece that you own, you will get a 50% discount on an animated piece. Is that correct or am I wrong?
Yeah, we really haven't talked about it yet, but that certainly sounds reasonable. And I mean, we're definitely going to do some crazy bonuses. Like this whole event is just about, you know, bringing beautiful things to life and then also like over delivering like crazy, right? So I mean, just the amount of over delivering we're going to do is going to be insane. So we'll get those discounts finalized and announced leading up, but again, that's still 10 days out. And it should be noted that these are going to be the first OG mail form pieces that are going to be minted as core NFTs, as Metaplex core NFTs. Mm-hmm. And then what we'll do for between now and the end of the year is we'll backfill the remainder of the collection with the other core conversions. So we'll have the male form all moved over. And then of course the female form has already been moved over. And then we're going to get the soul rockers moved over so that going into 26, everything will be on the same technology and everything will be, you know, top shelf. And that's really what we're looking to do between now and the end of the year, as well as some technical things. But we'll continue to drop the art, of course. The animated batch is going to be the first foray into the new core pieces. The 10 days of art drops is going to be celebrating all the arts, getting the phone plus another bonus into some lucky winner's hand. And yeah, it's a lot to do, man. So we got a lot to prepare for. I've got to get the mints prepped, and then you've got to get some stuff to me still. So we should probably get going and get that done. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So we have October coming up. We look forward to all that. Obviously, November is going to be great as well. And then we have Christmas coming up. So this year is ending strong and looking forward to everything that lies ahead. Looking forward to get some beautiful pieces into my wallet next week. And yeah, great conversation again. I think people will definitely get some new information they haven't heard of yet. And yeah, looking forward to Spaces. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you everyone for attending. Thank you to every new one who joined us this week or the last few weeks. And October starts tomorrow. Let's have a great time together. It's all about having fun. Have a great rest of the day and talk to you on Spaces, everyone. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.